other people have a better lot. There's the sense of chance operating. And of course, in the Mesopotamian sphere, driven by the sense of impending fate and the capriciousness of the gods, one could feel that one had been singled out. Not for any special reason, but you had been singled out, and now you were suffering. And now he turns to God, to the God, my God. I would stand before you, would speak to you. My word is a groan. I would tell you about it, would bemoan the bitterness of my past and my path, would bewail my confusion. Now, from a literary standpoint, we have a move that's very similar to what we see in the Hebrew Bible. That is to say, I am suffering so much, I want to undo my existence. Now, the idea of suicide was very much looked down upon in these ancient cultures and in biblical culture. But from a literary standpoint, it seemed perfectly okay to assert the wish that you never had been born. Oh, that I would not have been born. Lo, let not my mother who bore me cease my lament before you. Let not my sister utter the happy chant and song. Let her utter tearfully my misfortunes before you. Let my wife voice mournfully my suffering. Let the expert singer bemoan my bitter fate. My God, the day shines bright over the land. For me, the day is black. The bright day, the good day has gone. Tears, lament, anguish, and depression are lodged within me. Suffering overwhelms me like one chosen for nothing but tears. Evil fate holds me in its hand, carries off the breath of my life. Malignant sickness bathes my body. My God, you who are my father who begot me, lift up my face. Like an innocent cow in pity I groan. How long will you neglect me, leave me unprotected? Like an ox, I groan. How long will you leave me unguided? So this is a poem from the great civilization of Sumer, which I think really encapsulates this idea of suffering and asks the god directly, the sufferer is asking the god why he suffers. The great parallel to this is in the book of Job in the Hebrew Bible. And in order to understand Job's lament, which I would like to read you a few verses of, one of Job's many laments, we need to know the narrative background of the story. And this narrative background speaks to the interplay between myth, the narrative of myth, wisdom, and the psychological aspects of myth. Because the story of Job is this, that Job is presented in the beginning of the story as the most righteous of all men. And he's rewarded for his righteousness. He has flocks, he has a family, his children are praised, he has a good life. The Satan, this is the only time in the Hebrew Bible, Old Testament, that a figure called the Satan, which means the person who argues against humanity, the prosecution lawyer, literally, that's what it means. So the prosecution lawyer, the attorney for the state here being God's court, comes to God and says, Job praises you. Job is a good man. Why is he a good man? Because he doesn't suffer. Let me, Satan, make him suffer, and then let's see whether he will praise God. And God agrees to this and says, yes, let's see what will happen. But there's one reservation that God has that he imposes on this situation. Don't let Job die. In a way, this is worse as the story continues because Job can't die. He has to suffer. So there's this deal made between God and Satan. And